everyone, into the latest Packers podcast brought to you by PackersNews.com, JSOnline.com. I am Jim Ozarski, along with Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We are in Jerry's World, Arlington, Texas, AT&T Stadium, where the Green Bay Packers win 34-24, Tom. And our friends over at Potawatomi Hotel and Casino feel good about that because they win. Wednesday night wins this fall, all at Potawatomi Casino. If you play with your club card, you can get your share of $250,000 in total prizes. Please go to paysbig.com/fallwins. And that leads us into this one. Tom, 4-1 for the Green Bay Packers after a what we thought would be a tough game for this group.
3-0. Green Bay Packers are 3-0 at AT&T Stadium. This is becoming a home for them, a home away from home for them. And they played like the home team today. I was thoroughly impressed with what they put on the field. Statistically, it was sort of the opposite of what last week was, where Dallas ran up all the yards and Green Bay did the stuff that wins games. And that was quite a turnaround from a week ago. And the most impressive part about it was they put the game in running back Aaron Jones's on his shoulders and said, take us to the promised land, and he did. Really impressive. They knew without Devontae Adams they were going to need somebody to rely on, and I figured it was going to be Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy Graham spreading it around to the receivers, but it was all Aaron Jones in the offensive line.
Yeah, can I tip my own cap by suggesting Matt LaFleur going to an inside zone running scheme this week?
Yeah.
It was, because we had talked about why was he averaging less than 2 yards a carry. We were talking about how this run game had really just stagnated since Minnesota.
Yeah.
And they went behind Elgton Jenkins in the first half. And then they went behind Lucas Patrick, Billy Turner to a degree in the second. There were some end arounds on the right side too, some cutbacks. But that inside scheme worked. It kind of neutralized, I guess, the side-to-side, the lateral speed of Dallas's linebackers.
Exactly. And that's what they were looking for. You know, there's a lot of movement up front with Dallas's defensive line. They like to slant a lot. They like to stunt. The linebackers like to, they like to flow freely to the ball. And let's face it, all the success the Packers have had running the ball in the past few years has been inside zones. That's what Aaron Jones does. He's really good inside zone runner. And I give LaFleur a lot of credit. He said, to heck with the wide zone for this game, and we'll run a few of those, but the inside zone is what we're going to hang our hat on. And lo and behold, that was the difference in the game.
Yeah, I gave Matt LaFleur for that reason, along with some other ones, my game ball, I guess, and our insider over at PackersNews.com, because I thought he's the offensive coach. He came up with a game plan again. Basically, since Chicago, Tom, he's schemed offense in the first halves of games. Other than the first drive where a couple of David Bakhtiari penalties set them back, they scored on all of their possessions. They scored, I think, four of their first five. It probably was their most complete offensive game start to finish. I know that didn't end on a strong note, but again, they scored points. The red zone, he threw it five times, ran it five times, four rushing touchdowns, so there was a change there.
Yep.
The inside zone. And I thought an underrated thing, Tom, was calling up Trey Carson to the 53, making him active over Dexter Williams. Mm-hmm. Trey Carson didn't have a lot of stats, Tom, but he had some real big pass blocks.
He did.
And it's just a guy. And look, that's a coaching decision, in my opinion. Who's your 46?
Right.
Who's the guy you bring in? Mm-hmm. And I thought Matt LaFleur pushed the right buttons offensively.
I did, too. I thought the Carson move was really smart, given exactly what their game plan was. And I thought he did two things. Like you said, he pass blocked and he didn't turn the ball over. And from what we could tell, he didn't make any egregious assignment.
No,
errors.
I mean, and he was available as a little dump off for Rodgers on a couple. I mean, were they big plays? No, but they were little things that clearly Trey Carson was trusted to do.
Yeah.
That they didn't think Dexter Williams could pull off.
Yeah, and I think they have something there with Trey Carson. I think, you know, they're going to get Jamal Williams back at some point. But Trey Carson is a nice little option to have. And Dexter Williams is a project, obviously. They obviously feel he's a project. And so, I mean, I wouldn't give up on him. They're right. Sort of stashing him on the roster, but I don't think that's killing him. Now, if they get a bunch of injuries, then that's right. going to start to affect them. And they are starting to get some injuries. Yeah. We should go over some of those before we, you know, continue our analysis of the game.
Yeah, well, one last thing maybe it's about the last thing, but with Aaron Jones, what I thought also was not coincidental was they gave him the ball 19 times in the run game, mm-hmm. 107 yards. You had written about the lack of explosive runs. One touchdown was 18 yards. He had a 16, a 15, 3 11s, which mm-hmm. was the most 10-plus yard rushes of the year. They also threw it to him 7 times.
Yeah.
7 receptions, 8 targets, so he touched it 26 times. What does that remind us of? Minnesota. Yeah. That was the last time this offense, you know, you could say, looked this good early and then also salted it away late I didn't really salt it away, but,
well,
you know, it's...
You know, there were two key 11-yard runs that Aaron Jones made. There were 7 minutes left in the yeah. game, and they get the ball. They're up by, I believe it's 34-24 at the time. And he breaks off 2 11-yard runs, and they wind up, you know, running off almost 4 minutes
yeah.
of the clock. And that was huge because they know he's coming up the middle, and they still were able to do it. It got a little shaky at the end.
Yeah.
They can thank... Brett Maher for missing that chip shot field goal, or whoever the guy who was off false started.
Yeah, unbelievable.
On that penalty, on that first field goal attempt. But I sort of felt all along that they were in control of the game, even though Dallas was moving the ball, and, you know, even after the Amari Cooper touchdown, that was fairly embarrassing with
yeah.
two missed tackles. It was still up to Dallas to consistently show they could score, and they hadn't really shown that up to that point.
Right.
Anyway, so injuries, boy, the guys were in and out of this game.
Yeah.
It's that time of the NFL season. So Corey Linsley suffers a concussion.
Yeah.
He's
and
out.
That was a little... disconcerting. He sort of looked very woozy, at least on the television, sort of wobbly woozy on his way to the locker room. So obviously good on medical staff for catching that. I don't think that we would have noticed that in game if he didn't go out.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a starter there, Lucas Patrick. Some iffy shotgun snaps.
I'll tell you the most hilarious part, and I have a good story about this. So there were a couple of those direct snap plays to Aaron Jones, and they turned out to be not bad plays. Aaron Jones turned one of those into a 15-yard run. And I asked Aaron Jones about it, and I'm like, so how did you practice that all week? He's like, I don't know. They just call them, and I run them.
Yeah.
And I wasn't at Aaron Rodgers' press conference, but then I read the transcript. It turns out that Patrick just missnapped
it.
Yeah. He just was moving to his left and snapped
sent to the right
by accident. And Aaron Jones just said, oh.
Yep.
You know, and Rodgers, so it happened once, and then Rodgers said to him, you know, just be careful, it might happen again. And like you said, lo and behold, it did, and he ran 15 yards for a first down. So, you know, they'll have to keep an eye on that one.
Yeah.
With Corey Linsley, but, you know, they've got 8 days with a Monday night game coming
right.
up. Kevin King was in and out of the game.
Yeah, bruised knee. I mean, he told our Ryan Wood that it happened, but he didn't feel it was going to be a big deal. And but he's, hey, look, he had said last week, Tom, that he left the Eagles game maybe earlier than normal with the groin, which proved to be the correct decision because he played. He dropped one interception but had a second one, or had another one Sunday against Dak Prescott. So, you know, maybe he's just a guy who's, you know, knocking knees and knocking whatever. But it, so we'll see if he'll be able to come back. Darnell Savage Jr., that's the one to watch.
I didn't get a chance to talk to him.
Yeah, really scary looking, knee buckling, and they ruled it an ankle. He never left the sideline. Like, he tried to work it out, and he was always kind of moving around. But I think once they got up three scores, they kind of ruled him out for the game.
Yeah.
So that's one to watch as a starter, key player. Will Redmond came in and, you know, had some good plays, also victimized a little bit, kind of like that Eagles game.
Yeah, he had an interception that would have been an interception if there weren't illegal hands to the face.
Right.
He missed the tackle on the Cooper touchdown. But he's a solid guy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, who else played safety was Josh Jackson.
Yeah.
He is now, I think, a safety.
Yeah, kind of like a dime safety look, right?
He played deep safety even when Savage was out, and then they played that nickel where Adrian Amos is the linebacker, the inside linebacker. Then Josh Jackson was the deep safety with Will Redmond. So that's a little bit of a change, a way to get him on the field. Chandon Sullivan played some slot corner.
Yeah, came up with a leaping interception, which looked awfully familiar to some plays we saw him make in camp.
Yeah.
You know, kind of sitting down where the quarterback can't see him. And literally, his interception was a flashback to camp for me in that way. And you know, look, they're on the team for a reason. And we asked Mike Pettine about it when we thought King and Tony Brown was ruled out. And he said those guys be ready. And credit to them. They made big plays. Look, three turnovers, three sacks.
Yeah.
And that's what this team had done through the first 3 weeks. Couldn't do against Philly. They were shut out in both categories. Za'Darius Smith, two sacks. Preston Smith, one sack. Adrian Amos had a hit on Prescott that forced an incompletion. I think Za'Darius Smith had four quarterback hits total.
Mm-hmm.
If they can play with a lead, I think Mike Pettine's willing to let a team try and air it out and come back because they can go for the ball, go for the quarterback.
I thought they were – so one slight criticism I have is that I thought they were – whenever they pressured Prescott, they seemed to rattle him and get him to throw some awkward balls. And then when they got in the lead, they just played four-man rush the whole game. And – every once in a while, he'd bring a fifth guy. But I've wondered if, you know, he's always going to worry about the deep ball. But I wondered if this game, they could have put it away a little earlier with some more pressures. You know, I will be interested to look at the tape, you know, at the replay and see. They won the game, so I guess you can't really say that he was wrong. But I do think there's some times when they could have just maybe put the game away with a couple of blitzes.
Do you think to a degree – I mean, so I thought Dallas would kind of follow the Minnesota game plan, even down 17-0, that they would give the ball to Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, we've talked for 4 weeks about this run defense, And the chess match was Mike Pettine comes out in a true base with B.J. Goodson, the two Smiths, Tyler Lancaster started, and Kellen Moore responded by throwing the ball. And it worked. Mm-hmm. Zeke was stopped for 2 yards, and it was big pass. And then a third, really, Amari Cooper, I don't think he would have outrun Jair Alexander, but he would have got within the red zone.
Yeah.
But he said he took his eyes off the ball. Alexander gets a pick. Whenever early Pettine had that base, Moore threw it, they brought in Tremont Williams or brought in you know, that nickel coverage, then they would run it.
Mm-hmm.
But they just never stayed consistent with the run game. And now all of a sudden you're down 24-0, 31-3.
Yeah.
Elliott was almost a non-factor.
He was. I thought that they played pretty good run defense. Yeah. I thought Goodson added something. You know, now they didn't have to worry about covering a tight end.
Yeah, that helps.
Jason Witten, I saw Preston Smith covering him. I saw Amos covering him. I mean, just about anybody on the field could cover him.
Yeah, and the one, you know, big reception he had, you could argue it was offensive pass interference. He just kind of shoved Josh Jackson in the chest to get separation on one play. So you're right. The Philadelphia plan, I mean, not many teams have two guys like they do.
No.
To stress the interior.
No.
You
know, and then we saw Oren Burks come in the second half after B.J. Goodson got hurt. And very first plays in there, he tackles Ezekiel Elliott for like a 2-yard gain. It was a really nice play. And they had Oren Burks covering Ezekiel Elliott some in pass coverage. And I think he's going to continue to, you know, I think it was a good sign that he got on the field for him.
Yeah.
Finally got on the field, got some plays in. So I think we'll start to see more of him on the field.
Yeah, the raw numbers, I mean, it's going to be 538 yards total offense, 8.3 yards per play. I think that will still rush for over 5 yards a carry.
Yeah.
So I know, you know, the raw stats aren't going to help Mike Pettine's group at all
when we
preview the game against Detroit. However, they didn't allow a touchdown until 2 minutes left in the third quarter.
Yeah.
And while it got the
three picks.
Yeah, while the crowd got excited and it did get within two scores in the fourth quarter, I mean, it was still a 10-point game late. I mean, he was playing for the deep ball to beat him, and, you know, Redmond and Alexander make a tackle, maybe, you know, it's a it's a different situation there. So I think Mike Pettine is going to be pretty happy with at least the early run emphasis, and then they won on third down.
Yeah.
I guess if the Cowboys went 2 for 8, there were 2 sacks by the Smiths, one of the Amos pressures, another pressure from Smith, Za'Darius Smith, and one was a third down. They was a 3rd and 10 that forced Dallas into a 4th that they went for. So, you know, their third down defense was better. Still issues, but this looked like, I guess, the team we saw for 3 weeks.
Yeah, and I'm going to refer to the story I had today, Sunday, which is that the team that throws 40 times or more always loses.
Yeah.
I mean, Rodgers threw 34 and Prescott threw 44. Prescott threw for 463 yards, and he got an 83.8 passer rating. And you can't win without running the ball some.
And it's so weird that Dallas didn't do it. Like, it's almost, and Mike Pettine will never say he baited Kellen Moore to a degree, but he kind of did. He just said, here's all this swath of land. It was almost like what the Eagles did to Rodgers. Just throw, and who knows, maybe it's a different tenor if Cooper catches that first ball.
Yeah, I wonder about that. I was just thinking about that.
But he didn't, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he took his eyes off it. It was an interception. Because we talked about that the first 3 weeks with these quarterbacks they played, where it was like, well, they were moving, oh, well, they did this. But at the end of the day, it was still a turnover. And, you know, clearly that helps this Packers offense as well when they can get extra possessions or shorter fields and, kind of make a team one-dimensional.
They have to, whatever they do, they absolutely have to keep Za'Darius Smith healthy.
Yeah.
Even if that means sitting him out a game, and I'm not saying he needs to sit out a game, but he is the key to their defense. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He is the catalyst for just about everything. He's continually gets pressure, he plays the run well. He destroyed Cam Fleming, their backup tackle. And I mean, boy, was that a mismatch. And so that's something we have to keep an eye on. You know, he's got to get healthy. He probably could use a bye week now.
Yeah.
He gets a couple extra days to get ready.
He said that he... So early in the week, he made news by saying the team didn't want him to play against Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And he was... That was his... He had no stats. Mm-hmm. And not surprisingly, the defense struggled. So 10 days off, he plays. Left the game twice with a knee, once with cramps. And he said the first time with the knee issue... He chose to play without a brace. And then he's like, I thought I'd be fine. Went down. They put the brace on him after that. And then he said, because of that, that brace was moving around on him. And he said it slid down a few times. And he's so, I mean, if you have a brace on, that means there's some instability or something to warrant that. You don't just wear one. So you're right, Spoon. I'm curious to see, you know, obviously, he feels he can play. He's still producing with it. But you're right. Having 10 days for this and now 8 days is good for him.
Take some pressure off him. I mean, if you're going to play him, fine. But start to give Fackrell some more snaps. They gave Rashawn Gary a pretty good amount of snaps. Take a little bit of the pressure off him. You got two home games against winnable. Very winnable games, although Oakland's starting to look pretty good.
Yeah, Oakland and Detroit have played tough enough these few weeks to make them not kind of what maybe we thought they'd be at the start of the year. Maybe that's why Tim Williams was claimed, you know, former Baltimore Ravens outside linebacker.
Possible.
I mean, that was, you know, it's going to take him a little bit to catch up to speed, but, you know, in terms of outside linebacker health, Tom, I mean, that was a real thin room. Fackrell missed a practice with the shoulder. You know, so who knows how that's been affecting him. Rashawn Gary seemed okay in the locker room. He didn't really want to discuss why he had to be helped off the field. But he did come back. But he's had a few of those, you know, throughout this young season, too. So,
Another area we have to address, as always, or I guess commend, is J.K. Scott again.
Yeah.
That guy... is a weapon. He's especially the last drive. He put them down at what, like the 6?
It was
or
a tribute.
12?
Yet again,
it was like a 58-yard punt or something.
Yet again, a near 60-yard directional kick late in the game to pin that team back. Tavon Austin had to retreat to his own 8, I believe. He shook one tackle.
From the 8.
Yeah, and then Oren Burks actually tripped him up. With a nice solo team, special teams tackle there. But again, I mean, how many times, at least 3, in these close games, has J.K. Scott come up with a huge kick and then decent coverage?
I thought I honestly thought he almost hit the scoreboard
that
last one. The crowd groaned. Turned out it was because he got run into. But the way the ball, the trajectory,
from our
point
of
view,
did
he hit the scoreboard? Yeah, because it kind of disappeared. He wound up with 49.5 average and 46.5 net. That's
great coverage out Tony Brown.
Yes, right. So he deserves. He's the 2-star player of the game behind Aaron Jones, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe I would put Za'Darius Smith as my 3-star, but. Yeah, 4-1. So the Bears lose in London, which puts them at 3-2.
Yes.
Detroit is 2-0-1.
The Vikings won.
And the Vikings
after
won.
Their little mini civil war with the receivers, they put it up for 300 something yards and beat a bad Giants team to go to 3-2.
It's a good day to have Adam Thielen on your fantasy team.
Yeah, right.
You know, so the Packers have established themselves as a team to beat, at least in the early going.
Yeah,
and with 2 home games coming up, this is a real opportunity for them to go to 6-1. Unless you just had a complete collapse or lost your quarterback or whatever, pretty hard not to make the playoffs starting at having a 6-1 start.
Yeah, exactly. And that was something I wanted. No, you're right. And I think you know, again, like we talked about the coaching adjustment there for Matt LaFleur, offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. I give them credit, and I think if they're willing to do these things, and I think to me, Tom, they're proving they know how to game plan. I think that's been proven. And now it's just, you know, can it be executed throughout? And this was, I've seen little, like, incremental improvements every week, you know, in some sort of facet, right? Mm-hmm. Is it perfect? No. That's a credit to the, and look, Aaron Rodgers didn't throw a touchdown pass. So I looked it up real quick. It's only the 15th time in his NFL career he hasn't thrown a touchdown, 15th in his starts.
Yeah.
And several of those, 1, 2, 3, 4, look like were in games where he was hurt. So it's not very often that Aaron Rodgers doesn't throw a touchdown. And, you know, a lot of these, you don't see a whole lot of W's in those games that I'm looking at right here. There's a few, but not many. So, you know, they were effective in the red zone by running the ball.
Yeah.
And they got by without Davante Adams.
Yeah. And I'm going to say what not many people, like probably a lot of people are thinking, but not many people are willing to say. But if he would just play in rhythm, and I think today was a great example. He just took what the defense gave him. I mean, he used his skills. He threw on rhythm. He didn't overthink it. He didn't force the ball into anybody. He's got to play like that for this offense to go. Whenever he gets stuck into that mode of I'm the smartest guy on the field and I have to outsmart everybody, then they tend to get in trouble. When they get him to just play ball and take some of the thinking out of it, he seems to be, in this offense, it seems to really behoove him to play like that.
Yeah.
So that's going to be an ongoing challenge for Matt LaFleur.
And he spread it around 9 different receivers, caught balls, including the running backs, the fullback. Robert Tonyan appeared. Great leaping 23-yard catch. I think that's where he got hurt on. Yeah. I mean, I think he played after that, but I mean, we didn't see him featured in the pass game. Jimmy Graham, a guy we thought would be a big part of the offense, 3 catches, 41 yards, along a 23. He also got drew a defensive holding to get a first down in the fourth quarter. So Dromo also was targeted 6 times. I kind of thought that might happen. I think he had a drop and
he did.
Some contested catches there. But, you know, with no Adams, they went to the other playmaker in Aaron Jones through the air and on the ground. And it worked, and I guess we'll have to, I don't know. Brian Bulaga said this after the game, and he kind of said, well, I know there's always questions about Aaron and his size and can he take a pounding and all that stuff. But Tom, I don't know, Tom, is that a thing still? Or even can it be? Because, again, you look at these last 2 weeks where they really tried to, well, I guess the Eagles, Williams got hurt and that almost was different, but you know, where they don't, if they don't want to give it to him 27 times, they don't work as well. The offense doesn't go.
It's a thing until he makes it through a full season, healthy. So far, 4 games, they've given him ball fair amount, not a ton, but he has to prove he can make it through a season, and I think they need to keep giving him the ball, but they need to be smart about it, too. And there's still some things you can do with Jamal Williams. They haven't given Jamal Williams a ton of chances to run inside zone either,
and that's what
he does best, too. So I think they need to get back to doing that with both of those guys. And, I think Aaron Jones is a complete back. I've always felt like he was really had some special ability. He's just not Ezekiel Elliott. You don't give him the ball 400 times a year, you know. Just be careful with them, you know. But in a game like this, go ahead and ride him.
Yeah, big win. you know, 4-1, as you said, drops Dallas to 3-2. So as we talked about in the podcast leading up to this, Tom, it could have conference playoff implications. I mean, when you're 4-1, that, you know, that conversation starts. You're now drifting into the, you know, the second quarter of the season, they like to say. And to your point, a couple home games before they start, you know, going to Kansas City, and where Tyreek Hill should be back at that point if he's healthy. And, you know, the L.A. Chargers, you know, kind of that hard part of their travel schedule really kicks up. And,
yeah,
you know.
But they're 2-0 in the division, yeah, and they are 3-1 in the NFC.
Yeah.
That's a great start, you know. Can't argue against that.
Right. So, well, as we wrap up here from Arlington, keep sending us. We did not forget about you. We have not just, like, decided to not name the podcast. We are still looking for the perfect ones. You guys have been great. We found some really funny ones.
Yes.
We have enjoyed really going through them all, but please continue to send us your ideas. Tom Silverstein, he wants the emails. You can get me on Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapface, all the things Bill Belichick loves. Make sure to download and subscribe the JSOnline.com, PackersNews.com apps. Turn on your notifications so you can get all of our information right when it happens. And of course, Tom, go to Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino, because Wednesday night wins this fall at Pottawatomie. Play with your club card and you can get your share of $250,000 in total prizes. So please visit paysbig.com/fallwins. So for Tom, I'm Jim from Arlington. We'll talk to you next time.